the Detroit Tigers Minor League Tracker podcast. I'm your host, Keenan Carter. Tonight, got an interview with Tarik Skubal that I conducted February 15th, shortly after pitchers and catchers reported to spring training in Lakeland. I had been mispronouncing his name, Tarik, during the interview, but I had a chance to meet him when I was down in Lakeland last week and can confirm it is, in fact, Tarik. So without further ado, here's my conversation February 15th with Tigers left-handed prospect, Tarik Skubal.
So we're chatting with Tigers left-handed pitching prospect Tarik Skubal, ninth-round draft pick in the 2018 draft. Tarik, how's it going? Looks like you got a little bit better weather today there in Lakeland.
What'd you say? Good weather?
Yeah, it looks like the weather was a little bit better today.
Oh, yeah, it was really nice. I think it was like 72 or 73 at like 1 when we had stress. So it was nice and warm. Can't complain.
So, Tarik, you're coming to us from the Seattle University in Arizona. Was reading up on your bio. It says there you were first team all section in hoops in high school. Did you ever think about playing basketball in college?
Yeah, my older brother played basketball. I'm actually from like a basketball family. My older brother played college basketball. I grew up in a basketball gym. My dad's a high school basketball coach, so that's where I spent a lot of my time, like in the summers and stuff. My dad would go on camps and stuff. And I spent a lot of my time. So initially that was the plan, was to go play college basketball somewhere. But then I kind of like grew and started throwing a little bit harder and then got a lot more notices of baseball. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is the route that is going to take me farther than just going and playing college.
So. Sure. Yeah. No, I like to, when I'm reading up on bios, I like to see stuff about pitchers in particular who had some success in other sports. We like to see pitchers with good athleticism because they can then, you know, have repeatable deliveries. You know, Matt Manning, obviously everybody knows was quite a basketball player. I wrote a little piece up. It was his birthday, and I thought he was a pretty good basketball player in school too. So just kind of interesting connection, buddy. Pitchers seem to play some hoops in high school. So at Seattle, you know, 7-4 as a freshman, were named second team all-conference, freshman all-American. And then your sophomore year, you're kind of cruising, right, through 8 starts, 6-1 with a 2.11 ERA. And then got bit by the Tommy John bug a little bit. So I wanted to talk to you about your mentality when that was all going down and what that recovery process was like for you not being able to play ball for so long.
It was kind of like, I don't know, I'm pretty thankful for that it happened to me because, I mean, I was just pitching and I was having success, but then this stuff happens to you and it's how you overcome and react to the adversity. So, I mean, going through the process, just getting better each day, and then I got to watch a lot of college baseball and just kind of think, like, every pitch, if I'm in this position in the game, what would I do as a pitcher and as the stuff that I have, what would I do each game? And that's kind of how I went about it, and then just getting healthy. That's the most important part, is just like recovering and doing everything you can. I mean, going in twice a day in the training room, and then I spent the whole summer down in Phoenix, like away from home at Fisher Institute, and they did a great job at everything like that. So with my whole recovery and stuff, and it just kind of tests who you are. Yeah, I wanted to be out there because that was the year that we, like, won the regular season team, and I was, like, the best college team, I think, from top to bottom in terms of, like, the pitchers that we had and the hitters that we had. Like, we were really talented, and I had a feeling that we could make a serious run in the postseason. But it just kind of teaches you who you are, and you learn a lot about yourself. So, I mean, and it's just the importance of being healthy and how to take care of your body. That's an important takeaway that I got from having the surgery. Cause I mean, I would have never done this stuff. I would have never been like little things that you got to do and the stretching and all that stuff that you got to do to stay healthy. I would have never learned unless it was that way. So, I mean, yeah, it sucks that it happened, but I'm also like thankful that it happened. Cause I learned a lot about myself.
Right. So drafted twice, despite not pitching at all in 2017, Diamondbacks to in the 29th round. Did you, at that point, give any thought to leaving college and turning pro then?
I threw for them, like, in Arizona, like, three times. They wanted to just come out and watch me throw a little bit more because I had thrown a couple, like, showcases in the spring. Like, I had got downhill, like, four times and I just threw to our hitters, and it was like kind of like a pro day for me, I guess. And then they took me, and then they wanted to watch me throw a little bit more before they were like 100% going to like offer whatever the amount of money. I don't know. I mean, I thought about it. I just kind of left it up to my agent. I was like, hey, if you think I should go, I'll go. But if you don't think I should go, he's like, no, you should go back to school. I think you're going to have a better opportunity next year. Just like showcase a full season's worth of what you got. So that's, I mean, that's kind of what my decision was. Pretty simple to me. I was like, hey, should I go? They're like, no. I was like, okay, I'll listen to you. You're my advisor for a reason, and I trust you. So, I mean, that's kind of how it happened.
Right. Okay. So after missing half of, you know, 2016, all of 2017, so basically two full years without pitching, you come back in 2018. You're striking out a ton of guys, but control doesn't seem to be what it was prior to the surgery, right? So then you get drafted, you go off to the pros, and you just become this strike-throwing machine. Last, like 33 strikeouts, 22 and a third, just intentional. You gave up one earned run in your nine pro appearances. I couldn't get the pitch counts on your two GCL appearances, but in your other seven appearances, you threw 263 pitches, 177 for strikes, which is 67%, which is a very high strike rate. So from your mind, you know, what kind of differed from college to the pros is just that time needed from Tommy John for you to get feel back in all of your pitches?
I kind of struggled early last year in college, you know, like the first half of my season. I don't know. I think I looked at the numbers and stuff, like, because I was, like, wondering the exact same thing you were wondering, like, and I was just, like, working on things, and I was just struggling. I was like, oh, you know, what's going on? What do I need to fix, you know? And then your mentality, like, I remember my first outing exactly. I went through, like, three scoreless, and I had, like, I don't know, maybe two walks or something and, like, one strikeout, and I mean, it's three scoreless innings. I shouldn't be complaining, but I remember I was just so pissed off that I wasn't striking guys out at the rate that I thought I was capable of. And, like, that mentality, you just can't have that, you know. You just got to be just, I mean, consistent. You got to just take three zeros, you know. You never, like, the value of three zeros, I had to learn that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just struggled for, like, the first half of the year. I wonder what the numbers would look like from the first half of the year compared to the second half of the year, because I felt like I kind of flipped the switch there, and I had a string of really good starts with a lot more strikeouts, because I mean I think halfway through the year I had more walks than strikeouts actually, so like I didn't really strike many guys out until the second half of the year. So like I mean I just kind of figured it out by that point, like just a lot of just I was being too fine with everything. Like I wanted all my pitches on the black, or like I wanted my changeup in this perfect spot, or my curveball in this perfect spot. You know, instead of just kind of like throwing up there, going up there and competing with every pitch and just, I mean, just giving your best effort and then just live with the results. I mean, that's right. All you can really do is just give everything you've got. And then just as the season went on, I think, I mean, I had good success like in the second half. And then when I got to pro ball, just kind of picked up where I left off and just pitched with confidence. And I mean, I was only going like three innings or two innings, and it was just like, give everything you got for two or three innings and then just see what happens after that, you know, just give everything you've got. That's kind of what I learned, and it helped me out a lot.
Just have a couple more things for you, really. I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about analytics and technology, right? There's all kinds of stuff out there now talking about spin rate, spin axis, and tilt break, release point. Lots of different things coming out to help you with pitch design and mechanics and things like that. There was an article from Anthony Fennec of the Detroit Free Press that came out this week about Rapsodos being all over the place down there in Lakeland. They were kind of praising Casey Mize for how he embraces technology, and then they were talking about Jordan Zimmermann, who was basically like, I'm just trying to hit my spots. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. And I don't know if maybe they took that out of context, but just wanted to get your perspective on, since you've been in the organization, how you feel the Tigers are coming along with analytics, and what's your perspective on it, and how do you utilize those things to try to make yourself better?
Yeah, of course. I've never actually thrown into a Rapsodo, but I've always wanted to use one because, I mean, it's huge in developing a pitch that is more deceptive or have better movement or better break than what I've already gotten. It's all about, I mean, getting better with every pitch. I mean, if every pitch gets even harder for a hitter to pick up or harder for a hitter to hit, I don't know why you wouldn't want to add that to your arsenal, you know. But yeah, I'm bought in on all that. I mean, I like all the like the spin race and all that stuff. I think it's really interesting on that because I found out that I have like a pretty high fastball spin rate, and so like it kind of looks like it, I guess, like high fastballs are a little bit more deceptive. Like they don't look like they're going to be that high, and they're a little more effective for me. I mean, I've always thrown like high fastballs as like a late strikeout pitch, but I didn't know why I was getting swing and misses, and that was the reason. So like I can pitch up in the zone more effectively, I guess. So I mean, it's I like all that stuff. You know, I would love to get on one of those. I'm assuming I will be on a Rapsodo sooner rather than later with throwing bullpens down here and stuff. So I mean, I like all that stuff. I just gotta use it and get the feedback and then make adjustments based on that. So
sure. So speaking of pitch assortment, you know, you kind of have fastball, curve, slider, and change listed in your arsenal. Do you see yourself considering or continuing with the four pitch assortment going forward? And can you kind of give me what's your sort of self evaluation of each of those pitches, where they are in your development, which you're most comfortable with, and how you use those effectively?
Yeah, I think that's the four that I'm going to move forward with. I like my curveball. I mean, I like all my pitches. I like my fastball, obviously, the best. I think if I can attack with a fastball, it just kind of sets up everything. Fastball location is huge for me to have success because it just kind of sets up everything. It sets up the changeup. It sets up the curveball. It sets up the I call it a cutter, but it's kind of a slider. But, like, my mentality thinks, like, oh, just call it a cutter because that's how you can – that's how I physically think about it and then stay through the pitch to get the break that I want with the – with the life that I want. But I kind of use, I just learned the slider actually last summer. Like Adam Wolf, actually, we were just like playing catch one day and I knew he had this cutter that he always threw that like is a good pitch that he learned from like YouTube or something. I don't know what it was. But I was like, hey, dude, can you show me this? We're playing catch. He's like, yeah, this is how I grip it. You know, you can tweak it a little bit. And I did a little bit to fit like my arm angle. And then it just kind of developed into this pitch that I could throw any time with a bunch of confidence, like behind in the count. That's behind in the count, so where I don't have to throw a fastball, I can throw a slider and get and you know and get back into counts and instead of just kind of getting the fastball hit around. I mainly use my curveball as like more of a strikeout pitch, but like early in counts, late in counts, you know, just getting ahead and then getting guys out. And then changeup is just to get guys off my fastball pretty much. Like, hey, I'm going to throw this pitch so that way I can get you back with a fastball. I mean, that's kind of how I think about it.
Good, good. So, you know, a lot of the scouting reports on you when you were drafted talk about a relief profile. You know, some people have talked maybe a future Loogie type. But, you know, I was talking to another prospect evaluator who had a chance to see you quite a bit in college up there in the Pacific Northwest who really thinks that you've got what it takes to be a starter as well. So how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a starter going forward? The Tigers will probably give you that opportunity for a while, but do you think your stuff's more suitable for a bullpen role or a starting role?
I don't really see it either way. I mean, I feel like I've got the build and the frame and the endurance to be a starter. You know, I don't feel like late in games I lose my stuff or like I lose velocity. I feel like I can keep my velocity up and keep my stuff sharp for 6-7 innings, whatever I need to throw, you know, however many pitches. But, I mean, if I profile into a reliever, like, and I'm in the big leagues, I'm not going to complain, honestly. Like, whatever, you know, whatever it takes, that's right. That's kind of how I've always been, whatever they see me best as. I mean, I started, like, my whole life. I don't think I relieved maybe, like, 4 times in college, or 5 times total, and then this summer was actually a new experience for me, so. But I enjoyed it. I don't care either way. Honestly, I'm open to, I mean, whatever I'm having success and whatever I'm successfully doing, I think that's what I'll end up being. So.
Okay. Very good. And then we'll close this out here. Just a couple non-baseball related questions. I'm heading down there to Lakeland in a couple weeks to see some of you guys. I don't know how much time you spent down there in the last year, but any restaurants or watering holes that you recommend that are kind of must visits for me?
I haven't really experienced much, honestly. I mean, I was there for a week in the GCL, but I was in the dorms without a vehicle. This is the first, like, time I have a car, you know, to, like, go out and experience. I went to, like, one, like, little cafe. It's called like, oh, I don't even remember the name. Something and Brew. I don't know the first name. Something and Brew is like a little cafe shop, and we got a sandwich there like 3 days ago, and it was actually pretty good. So I mean, I've never really experienced much in Lakeland, honestly.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry for that.
No,
I don't really have much information, honestly.
I got a few tour guides down there. They'll show me around.
Yeah.
So I was looking up Kingman on the map, and I see you're 90 minutes south of Vegas and an hour north of Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you got one weekend, where is it going to be, the Vegas Strip or Havasu Spring Break?
Oh, I've only been to one Havasu Spring Break, but I wasn't, like, old enough, you know, to really experience what goes on there.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to go. I mean, I don't think you can be Vegas if you're going to do Vegas in a weekend. I don't think you can have – I mean, it's got literally anything you want to do. It's like its own little world in there, you know what I mean? I don't know if you've been there, but
Oh yeah.
You can do literally anything you want. And literally anything. You say, oh, I want to do this. I think they got like skydiving. I think you can go like race car, like NASCAR racing. You can like get in a car and do that. They've got like, I mean, they've got literally anything you want to do that you can do it in Las Vegas. It's just going to come at a price. It's expensive to do anything there. But I think I would choose Las Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, I've made enough trips to Vegas, and I actually have been to Lake Havasu one time too. I actually thought I was going there on a touristy trip, but it was not during spring break. And what I learned real quick is that during the off season, Lake Havasu does not have very much going on other than a bowling alley. So
yep.
I won't make that mistake again. But hey, listen, really appreciate you taking some time out. Wishing you the best of luck. We're rooting for you. I'll be watching you. Maybe, you know, when I'm down there in a couple of weeks, I'll try to find you and introduce myself. But best of luck to you. Stay healthy and keep working hard. And
of course,
Tigers fans are rooting for you too. So,
of course. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Good night.
Come up. One of these days, and it won't be long. Keep your eyes on us.